2017 CES coverage is brought to you by Kingston Technology, presenting the A400 SSD, bringing you incredible speeds with rock-solid reliability.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers podcast. This is, once again, a special edition CES 2017 Day 2?
Yes. Day 2.
Yes, this is Day 2. Actually, officially CES Day 1, so CES officially started. Doesn't seem like it, but...
Yeah, it always starts way early
for us. The show, or the show floor, actually officially opened today. I was on the show floor. You were on the show floor today, too.
Yeah, so it was a nightmare.
We both were on the show floor, so a lot to talk about.
Let's get right in it.
Yeah, let's just jump in. My first meeting of the day was with Cooler Master. And if for those who don't know, Cooler Master is actually celebrating their 25th anniversary.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep. So they have some really cool cases planned, which they did not let us take any photos.
Really?
And they didn't say I couldn't talk about them, so... No signed NDAs or anything. So I'll at least talk about one. They are remaking 25th anniversary edition of the Cosmos 2.
Really?
And it will have tempered glass side panels that are curved. The first case to ever have curved tempered glass side panels.
Sounds expensive.
It's going to be very... I mean, that case in general has always been expensive.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like an expensive process.
Yeah, it's a massive case. It looked awesome. It's good to see a full-size, like, crazy enthusiast case from Cooler Master because we haven't seen one. The closest thing we have is the Master Case Maker 5 or the Master Case Maker 5T. And
kind of missed the Cosmos 2 days.
Yeah. So they're bringing that back for the 25th anniversary. Different color as well. And then they had another case, which is it's so hard to explain. And again, we weren't allowed to take photos of it, but it is one of the best cases I've seen in a very long time, just by the way it looks.
Really?
Yeah, so those are things to do for the 25th anniversary. They had a lot of cool stuff. They had a lot of cool modding-related things. They had a bunch of mods in their suite
as usual,
well.
Really,
yeah.
Right?
They're really doing stuff with the community, which is really cool. A lot of cool stories for Cooler Master this year at CES. One thing that they also showed us is their fans. So they have their three different fan series. I can't think of the names, but one's like made for... water cooling, one's made for normal air cooling, and one's just like an all-around fan. They announced those last year as normal models, and now this year they're adding RGB, and their RGB software is actually really, really good.
Yeah.
It works quite well. They had a demo set up where it was on a touchscreen, so you could just change everything around. So we have RGB fans now from Cooler Master, which is pretty cool. They had these keyboards, I can't think of the name of them. If you're a typist, they felt amazing.
Just super clackety.
They were Cherry MX Greens, and they have this new...
Greens.
The keycap has this new... It's called PFT or something on the top, and it just feels really good.
Just the texture of
it's
the key.
It's a heavier type of... I don't know if it's plastic or whatever it is, but it feels so good.
Okay.
And they're coming out with a 10 keyless in that and a normal size in that. Really cool. And what's really... They're really made for typists. They're not made for...
Gamers. Yeah.
No backlighting, nothing.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Every once in a while you see that from a company that normally does a gaming product, and it's usually pretty successful. Speaking of keyboards, my first company to visit today was Cherry, the maker of Switches, right? And what they had for us today was actually a keyboard. So this is a couple of CESs now that they've launched a keyboard at, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize that Cherry, the maker of the Switches, does have their own products.
Yeah, yeah. They're not, they're just not popular or just not widely advertised?
Not as much, especially in the United States.
Yeah.
They're not sold because Cherry is a German company, correct?
Yeah.
In the United States, their presence just isn't as big. We actually have two sitting back at the office to review.
Do you?
Yeah, so I have two keyboards. I have their MX Board 3 and their MX Board 6, I believe, just sitting there. So I haven't really had a chance to take a look at them. But I assume they're good because the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Because they're good.
Yeah, so...
I mean, you know you have a good Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what they had today, though, was actually... It was... they rebuilt their original keyboard, which is like the G85000. It's an 85000.
Okay.
I know that for sure. Which is just... It's an old school, like, you know, like your beige box keyboard, but like everybody remembers those. They were actually pretty awesome for the most part, and this one has been updated with, you know, all new internals, so it's just an old school design, maybe give you that retro feel with their brand new like silent switches.
Okay.
And so this is the MX Silent, I believe it was called. And it's a pretty cool keyboard, man. It's literally there. It's the exact same travel on these keys and their silent switches as you would find on the reds and the blacks, but it's just completely quiet.
Yeah, they take out the tech, the whatever the clicky thing is in it. Or no, they put a rubber whatever
it's
that
got
is.
A, well, it's got a stopper on all four sides of the switch. It stops it before the rest, before the whole keycap hits or whatever, or the actuator hits. So.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So that was
that. They are gonna. That wasn't just a showpiece. They're gonna sell that.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're definitely selling it. We actually brought one back for review. Oh, nice. So,
cool,
yeah.
Cool.
Review sample. So.
Nice. So I decided to think it was a good idea to go to the show floor on the first day and visit Intel, which is one of the biggest booths at CES. It's the one of the busiest booths.
It's like the first booth when you enter Central Hall.
Yeah, it's huge. It's massive. It's like it's crazy. But luckily, they have a section set aside for press only, so it's kind of private there. But just getting to it is a bitch. But they didn't have a whole lot of Kaby Lake stuff because obviously that was launched this week, and we've already covered it because we had it weeks before. So for press, they were showing the new NUX.
Oh, okay.
And if you don't know what that is, that's next unit of computing. Very, very small mini PC. Those have been updated with Kaby Lake, but the update for these is that you get Thunderbolt 3, full Thunderbolt 3. So, you know, USB Type-C connector with Thunderbolt 3, so that opens a wide variety of different things that you can do with displays.
Oh.
You know, the external graphics card enclosures, you can have a little NUC that you can play.
Yeah, totally.
Doom in 4K if you want, if you have an external graphics card enclosure.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, you can basically mount the NUC on the side of the external graphics card enclosure, really, and have a full-blown system. I mean, that's what Thunderbolt 3 brings to that product category.
I mean, really, depending on the game, that is about all you need, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
because if
it's not a hugely threaded game...
Well, not even that. I mean, these NUCs, I mean, they're Core i3, Core i5, and Core i7.
And
we reviewed the Core i7 one this past year, the Gigabyte Bricks, and it's pretty powerful processor.
So they're full chips?
No, they're not full chips.
Oh,
they're a mobile chip
SoCs?
In there. Yeah, they're SoCs in there, but they're, I mean, the Core i7 is pretty awesome.
Okay.
It's a pretty powerful chip in there, and if you're, you know, if you do want a game, you can hook it up to, again, that external graphics card enclosure, and
So I wouldn't. Would you say that their processor, like, would it handle a game that's processor heavy, just like a desktop, or
not just like a desktop? It's not. It's
like
not going to be like that. But I mean, it's just like an SoC that you would find in a laptop.
Oh right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That type of deal. So, you know, we have our gaming laptops that play games just fine. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a little bit more robust because you can fit. Well, I guess you couldn't fit like full. You can't fit full DRAM, but
is it SoDIMMs?
Yeah, it's so dims inside. You know, it's just a nice little package for somebody who just wants an incredibly small
it's
PC.
Like it's a tower. Really, it's a tower replacement for like the everyday person.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can do things with it. Like,
yeah, you can
like
do a lot of stuff.
Graphics.
And you know, with this, you know, Intel has really worked towards making their processors great for doing other things. You know, all the instruction sets and things that have been added in software and all that. So these are really cool little machines, and the fact that you have Thunderbolt 3, that, again, we talked about external graphics, but you can connect displays. You can pretty much connect whatever you want. There's so many things that will connect via Thunderbolt 3 these days.
Thunderbolt 3 is one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Like, the daisy chaining of monitors is, like, that's so slick.
Yeah. So that was a big thing. And they had this really cool thing, which I'm not going to go into detail because it's going to take way too much of our time, and we're already almost at 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But they had this really cool thing, which you're going to hear a lot about, but probably not on the consumer side, was this compute card. And I don't want to go into it, but it's going to change the game when it comes to pretty much any type of electronics that is an IoT device or a connected device or a smart device. It's going to change the game it's going to make these devices upgradable in the future through doing a simple thing, but won't go into it because it's not really consumer, it's more manufacturer side. But they showed it to me, and it was awesome. Probably one of the coolest things I've seen at CES. So
nice.
So yeah.
After I saw Cherry, I went to Inwin, one of our favorite case my favorite case manufacturers. I don't want to speak for Bob. But they just always do awesome stuff, and they always bring, even though CES isn't really their show, they really do Computex a lot harder than they do CES. They always have something really cool at CES, so it's always a booth I look forward to visiting. This year they brought just a whole slew of new cases. I would say that the coolest thing that they had was the 303 Type-C, which is an updated version of the 303. It's still a steel chassis, but they've made some changes. For instance, it has a USB Type-C on the front panel, which obviously that's the name, which is still cool though, because you're not seeing that a lot yet.
Yeah, they were the one of the first. I forget what case last year had the Type-C on the front.
It's such a
might have been
little.
The 503 that okay. had the, or one of their cases was like the first case that we saw that we reviewed that had the Type-C on the front.
Yeah, it's still not widely adopted.
Yeah.
Aside from that though, it's got a tempered glass side panel with like this crazy printed on design, and then in the base of the tempered glass it has an RGB strip, and that, you know, lights change. It's fully cut, programmable with the rest of the interior case, all your other RGB lights, and so you can change all the colors with that, which is cool. Aside from that case, they have a small form factor version of the 303, which I forget the name of, but it's just basically a shrunk down version, small ITX, mini ITX case, which is really cool. Lots of cool stuff there. Obviously, we're gonna have up more information on
yeah,
that.
I don't want to get all.
I could talk for like another 20 minutes probably on any
yeah
cases.
So we're trying to make this podcast around 20 minutes because we have a bunch of things to still do.
Yeah.
And if we sat here for an hour talking, as much as we would love to, we have to get all of our coverage up and all of that. So talking about cases, I went and saw Lee and Lee, and they had some really cool stuff. The two things I want to touch on is they redid their desk case that's adjustable. So they have the desk case that moves up and down, obviously. Last year's was the DK04, which allowed you to put a full system inside. And now they have the DK05, which is two systems in one desk. And this is great for, especially for, you know, the use case that I see a lot is with gamers, right? They have their gaming, like professional gamers, they have their gaming system.
Oh, okay.
And then they have their streaming system. So you can have them both within your desk.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. The desk goes up and down. So I love standing desks. So this is one that's adjustable.
Yeah.
So you can move it up and down if you want. Full water cooling support. So I believe it supports up to 2 480 millimeter rads in there. I mean, it's an awesome. I would love to have it. So that, and then they are redoing their V3000. So their PC V3000 was kind of like their 1000 and 2000 and 3000 were like sort of like their flagships for Lee and Lee. They're very iconic cases. So they're updating that, and the updated look is awesome. It is just like the Cosmos 2. It's that massive big tower.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it can fit a 480 rad in it as well. Tons of storage space. Really, it's going to be a premier, you know, just like most Lee and Lee cases, like a premier case.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Be,
when you build everything out of aluminum, it's just...
Yeah, so it's all aluminum. It's an awesome case. Definitely, we did a video on it, as well as we'll have pictures and everything on the site. Definitely check that out. It's only a prototype that we got to see, but it's going to be coming this year, and I'm super excited about it. So
nice.
So yeah, and then who did you see after?
After Inwin, we met with Wreckit, and we saw three new mice from them. They have they've just updated the cones. So you've got the Cone EMP, which is kind of your middle of the road mouse, really standard size. The biggest thing with that one is they removed a button from it from the front of the scroll wheel. And then they added some RGB tubes that are run along the side of the top, which is pretty cool. They've got pretty cool software, too.
They have really great software.
Yeah, so it's pretty neat. We were easily able to go in and mess with the colors for the video that we shot. So
nice.
That's cool. So you got the Cone EMP, and then you've got the Cone... the Cone Pure, which is like they're pretty much entry level, I believe.
So it's like a more of like an entry level FPS type mouse, not that many buttons, it looks like.
No, not many buttons at all. I think you've got 5 if you include the scroll wheel click. But it's really light, which they were really like, that was the main thing on that, which kind of confused me because a lot of people don't want a light mouse, right?
Well, some people do, especially
some
when
people
it
do,
comes
some people
to
don't, but...
MOBA games, you want to like be able
Super
to
Twitch stuff,
yeah, Super
yeah.
Twitch style games, which is incredibly popular right now. You want that. I even know a lot of FPS gamers that do like the lighter
mice.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
I just don't go for it personally, and I just I've always saw the a weight system as being like a positive thing, but
yeah,
it's super light. If that's what you're into, this thing was like nothing, right?
Yeah.
And all three of these mice have a 12,000 DPI sensor, so it's it's as fast as you need it to be, basically.
Yeah.
So that was pretty. It's a pretty basic mouse, though. Not much to talk about there. And their biggest thing that they announced was their very first wireless mouse, which is a 2.4 gigahertz wireless mouse. The leader,
nice.
Tons of buttons on this one. Probably,
yeah, it looks
probably
like
more
the one
buttons
that
than
I
even
reviewed. I reviewed one that's almost exactly the same as that.
Okay.
Not wireless, obviously.
Toggles all over.
Yeah.
Every button you could think of.
It's an MMO mouse, and they have their what's it called? The Shift Plus, which is built into all of these.
Okay.
Which means if you press a button on the mouse, or if you have a Rocket keyboard as well, you hold whatever key you set for Shift Plus. So I say I hit Shift on my Rocket keyboard. It's the software with the keyboard and mouse are connected, so all those buttons will change to something else.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So it gives you basically twice the programmable buttons.
Essentially macros. For
yeah.
Me.
And you can set it to not only a key on your keyboard, but you can set it to a button on the mouse, too, so you can
change it that way.
Yeah, so
yeah,
it's really
cool.
Yeah,
and not only, like, aside from, like, its actual use, I mean, it's got a 12,000 DPI sensor. It was a pretty robust wireless mouse, right? The charging station is, like, it's a pretty good size, like, transmitter for it.
Okay.
You can unplug the cord to that and plug it into the mouse directly.
Nice.
So, no matter what, even if it dies, you can plug it in. And then it actually switches from wireless over to wired when you do that.
Yeah.
So, you're not going to lose anything that way.
Cool.
It was just a cool mouse. They also had a keyboard. They launched the... It's just an updated version of the Iscu Plus FX. But the coolest thing... It's a dumb Switch keyboard. I wouldn't really even normally have anything to say about it. It's got a nice surface on it, on the palm rest and all around it. But it's got, I forget what they call it, the QWEASD keys, they all have an actual chemical in the bottom of the switch that senses electromagnetic or electrical changes. So when you press these, they actually press in thirds. And so, like, if you're playing a game where you're, like, driving a car and you hit, W to accelerate, for instance, if you only press it like a third and then two thirds, or like a third, it only accelerates at a third of forward. Like it actually reads how far down, how hard you're pressing those keys. So you could, there's tons of instances where you can use that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Which is pretty cool. Nice. In a pretty standard keyboard, I would say.
Yeah, that the ISQ line has always been the dumb keyboard. The software is really what makes that keyboard. A lot of their products is the software is really what makes it,
Yeah, certainly. But it's no different than anybody else's dumb keyboard. I mean, a lot of people
have the thumb button too.
Yeah.
Which was a big deal when they first announced this keyboard years ago, the original. So that's cool. So new stuff from a bunch of companies. Obviously the real big thing that I went to earlier than you also went to the other one.
Yeah.
Was we met with AMD today. Obviously the big talk has been about Ryzen and Vega. I went to the Vega briefing, I wasn't shown any product. I was actually basically shown exactly how the Vega architecture works, and much like Ryzen, they've really redesigned it. And I think that's a big thing that AMD is really doing, is redesigning their architectures, obviously, to perform much better, not rehashing the same product over and over again. And we have seen Vega demos and everything. And, it's very promising. We don't know what product it is, obviously, anything like that. But if they are completely, they showed me how the architecture works and everything like that. So it's going to be a really good product, HBM2.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously. Yeah. 14 nanometer, built on 14 nanometers. So really exciting. First half of the year.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if they were supposed to tell me that. Because I asked if it was Q1, and they said first half. So for those looking for Vega in Q1, I don't think it's going to happen. So there's that
info. Yeah, but I don't think that it was really ever, like, Was that expected?
A lot of people had thought, yeah. Huh. So
I never really did. I always thought it was later.
A lot of people thought Q1, you know, from now till March. So
yeah.
But also we did the Ryzen briefing, which was pretty cool. And I think the biggest thing to take out of that I didn't know, because most of the stuff we knew, almost everything they talked about.
Yeah, almost the whole slideshow we had seen.
We had saw at their live stream in December. But they went over all that with us. The coolest thing that I think that they told us about is that for Mini ITX, they will have a specific chipset for that.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
So they're not going, you know, when you, you know, on the Intel side, when you have a Z270, Z170 motherboard, that chipset's still there, and there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't get used.
Like the full features on that 270 chipset, which is things that are only found on the full-size board, it's still there. Like you said, like... It's wasting resources.
Yeah, it wastes resources. It just takes up space on the board. So for Ryzen, what they're doing is for Mini ITX is that it's actually going to have its own chipset. So we have the X370, obviously, for ATX, and I believe that's Micro ATX as well. But for Mini ITX, it's just going to be the X300 chipset, which was incredibly interesting. And I like that.
I think the biggest thing was that it frees up PCI lanes.
Yeah, it does.
So, what's normally being... Well, those ports, right, essentially on the full ATX board, on an Intel board, are, you know, it's still there, essentially, in that chipset on the smaller board, but you're not even using it. So in this board, you can take those lanes and you can dedicate them to something else.
Yeah, so...
kind of modular, right?
Yeah, I liked it. I think it's... Because I was like, what's this thing? Because they showed us the slab, and I was like, what is this... this X300 thing, and then they explained it all. So I think for me that was the biggest takeaway from the Ryzen briefing. The other thing that we got to see is at their booth they had quite a lot of motherboards that will support Ryzen, which is pretty cool.
A lot of actually good looking boards.
Yeah, a lot of good looking boards there, and we got to see all of system integrator systems. So the big PC builders, iBuyPower, CyberPower. From a ton of them, we got to see all of their builds, Origin, PC, and it seems like all of these system integrators are extremely excited about the platform. I think that was really, really cool to see as well. So,
yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I would say that was probably the funnest booth I've been to.
Yeah, really exciting thing right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe it was riding the hype wave a little bit. Yeah. But nevertheless, it was, I mean, like, we've never seen AMD motherboards that actually looked good. I haven't thought.
Yeah.
Like, ever.
Yeah.
And these were, like, I'm just excited. I'm excited to see the reviews and see what happens. And, like, hopefully it's good because I want to build one.
Yeah. So, that was pretty much our day. Obviously, guys, all of our coverage will be on the website. So, thinkcomputers.org/CES-2017. It is all there. And thanks for listening. This has been a really fun week so far, and we have how many days left? A couple more days of this podcast, so definitely listen for all of our updates. So till tomorrow, catch you guys later.